It's time for Life in the Fast Lane with Madison Morgan. Stay tuned now for relative, informative, timely, sometimes controversial, and hot topics involving everyday life. In Madison's world, that would be Life in the Fast Lane. Your calls are welcome at 928-282-4154. Here's Madison Morgan.
Hello, everyone. How are you, Mr. Tom Tabak?
I'm fine. How you doing?
This is Madison Morgan.
Are you sure?
On a 1 to 10? No, I didn't even hit 0.
I mean, we don't know for sure. I mean, I know it looks like you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've been MIA for a little bit. But I have a lot of news for you, my friend.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to save it to the end.
Okay.
And you are going to be surprised.
Okay, so you teased.
Yeah, this is a teaser.
That's not right, you know.
Why?
It's not right to tease.
Who said?
Yeah, because, you know, it's just a known fact that it's not right to tease.
Where's it written?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well.
And just ask any high school guy in the country.
Oh, don't start that again.
All right.
Hey, remember a couple of weeks ago we had that guy, Mark Shapiro, who talked about
Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Or T. Timbo.
Whatever his name was.
I could screw you up so fast.
I know. Donald Trump got on. Did you hear that?
Yes. He wants answers. He wants to know why nobody's employing this guy.
So where do you think he got that information from? This
right here,
show.
You think?
Yeah, and you know, since you guys gave me the license plate,
yeah,
I am golden now.
Oh,
people stop me everywhere. We got more fans than ever.
Yeah, they're all cops, right?
No, these are regular people, and they say to me, "Oh, Chasm." I said, "Oh yeah, I have a fabulous show on Chasm. It's worldwide." and I go, by the way, my boots on the ground.
Yeah.
I mentioned you guys last week, and they all go, "Did you say our names?" I said, "Not yet," because, you know.
Ka-ching. Yeah. Did you write me a check? I'll mention your name when you write me a check.
They've torn my house up.
Yeah.
Well, I'll talk about that later.
Now, the Donald Trump thing. You got it on authority that he heard you on the internet. Is that the thing? He heard the stream of your show.
I don't know, I just made that part up.
Oh.
I was intrigued. Don't ask me questions like that.
I was intrigued.
Oh, you were, huh? Well, I was shocked when I saw him on the air.
Yeah, I know.
Well, on TV.
Well, he has to find things to generate publicity for himself from time to time. And it doesn't matter what it is. He wants to make a statement on it. They're going to cover it. The media will, somebody in the
Everybody
media.
Everybody loves him. He's my idol.
Well, okay. Ivana Trump's not thrilled with him.
No, I think she's pretty happy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ching.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, how long can you really be married to somebody?
Well, right now, all I can say is 42 years.
Well, you should have cut that in half. No, you and your wife are perfect, okay?
We're lucky. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, very lucky. Good thing you and I weren't. Never mind.
That would have lasted 42 seconds.
Yeah. What's even smaller than 42?
That would have lasted 42 seconds into the ceremony. And then I'd be the guy running down the aisle screaming.
Oh, man.
The runaway bridegroom.
Did I tell you about the
It sounds like a movie. Doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've heard it. Did I tell you about the guy in my house? I told him, I said, listen, I'm psychic. Mm-hmm. I want you to look in the corner of the house. Did I tell you that part?
Yeah. Ants. Mm-hmm. You found ants. Billions
Not
of
billions. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I got to tell you this last week. I left here, right? I wasn't feeling good, right?
Yeah.
So I go to the store, and I say to this lady, just touch my head. I think I'm on fire. She goes, oh, you're really hot. So then I say to another lady, oh, touch my head. Please touch my head. She goes, no, you're not that bad.
I'd have been running and screaming from you so fast.
So I
did
drive.
They actually did it?
Yeah. So I run to urgent care, right? I'm in there. I'm frantic. I said, please help me.
Yeah.
I'm on fire. So the lady, she's really calm, right?
Yeah.
She takes my temperature and she goes, 98.2.
Oh, see, you're under.
Yeah.
I knew you were cold-hearted.
And I said, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I said, take my oxygen. Put the thing on my finger.
Oxygen?
Yeah. She puts the thing on there. She goes, 98.
You had a pulse rate of 98?
My oxygen intake is perfect.
Oh, okay.
I said, put the cuff on. Hurry up, put the cuff on. 117 over 76.
Okay.
She goes, you are a picture of health. I said, no, I'm not. I said, give me a shot. Just give me something.
You're missing a line there. No, I'm not. Look at me.
So the doctor comes in. I said, listen, I'm really sick. Feel my glands. Mm. Just check me out. And he goes, I go, look at my eyes. He goes, you might have some sort of infection. I said, just give me a shot. He goes, I'm not giving you a shot. I said, oh, well, then give me some pills, something. He goes, I'll give you some amoxicillin. 2 days later, sick as a dog.
That's just what you get.
I was sick.
Yeah.
I'm better than
that. The amoxicillin didn't take care of it then.
No, it did.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't talk. Remember how that last time?
I know. It was bliss.
All right. Well, we better get to our guest.
Okay. Huh? Let's do it.
Oh, man. We're really behind time here. Well, this is very interesting to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Dr. Susan Shumsky.
Yeah.
And she's written, I want you to know this, something like, I don't know, 10 books,
mm-hmm.
including The Power of Auras, Power of Chakras, Instant Healing, Exploring Meditation, Ascension, How to Hear the Voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Miracle Prayer, The Divine Revelation, Cleansing the Human Energy Field, Clearing Noxious Zones. I don't know what that even is, but but she is a ghost whisperer.
Now we're talking.
And you wouldn't believe the stuff she knows.
This is right up your alley.
I know. And, oh, I got so many questions to ask her. I mean, I don't know if we're going to have time. We might have to bring her back.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there, Miss Dr. Susan?
Miss Dr. Susan?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great. I'm sorry I took a little time in the beginning. I had a lot to talk about. I had 3 cups of coffee, too. But I just love this whole thing, you know, about this ghost thing, because the questions I have for you are just right up my alley.
Great.
But how did you get into the ghost thing?
Well, I've been into the spiritual thing since 1966, when I was a hippie in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Summer of Love, and even before that. And people probably don't realize that those of us who were flower children at that time, that our main focus and interest was in spiritual awakening and spiritual enlightenment. So I was reading all kinds of spiritual books. I was reading the Buddhist scriptures, Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. I was reading The Way of Zen by Alan Watts, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Pardon me?
I studied Alan Watts.
Yeah, right.
For about four or 5 years.
Right.
Did you ever hear of him?
So,
no, I never have. Dr. Shansky, let me ask you, are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, sort of a speakerphone. I'm on Skype.
You're on Skype and you called us on a phone?
Yeah, you can do that on Skype.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Are you getting an echo?
Yes.
If you want, you could call me. I could call you from the telephone.
Yeah, let's do that, because I would rather that we have a quality broadcast and people get to hear every word you're saying.
I will do that.
Okay. So we'll get,
call you right back.
We'll get you back, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, Madison, but I couldn't let that keep going.
Yeah, I saw the look in your face. But look at her picture. She doesn't look like a hippie.
She did Skype to a phone. I don't know why.
I told her. I talked to her twice.
Yeah.
She had a I could tell she was on a speakerphone. I said, yeah. Are you on a speakerphone? So then she changed it and she sounded much better, but I didn't know she was doing it today.
Yeah, well.
But look how pretty she is.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, she doesn't look like a hippie.
Wait, that's hippie is a
hippies that's weren't that's doing that. They were sex and drugs.
That's a mannerism. Yeah, that's right. It's,
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to blow her. But
no, yeah. You don't want to.
Hello.
You know, it's okay. She's
hi. Can
now.
You hear me better now?
Oh my goodness! It's the real you.
Well, good.
I know. I've been talking to you on the phone.
Great.
Oh, you sound so much better.
Now, Madison was having a hard time. While we were waiting for you to call back, Madison was having a hard time with your picture because she says you don't look like a hippie.
You look beautiful.
I'm still a hippie at heart.
There you go.
Totally.
I am
a hippie at heart.
But weren't hippies just, you know, sex, drugs?
Rock and roll.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, all the way. That was it. That's what we were into. But mainly we were into spiritual awakening and enlightenment. And our gurus were Timothy Leary, who he said, you know, tune in, turn on, tune in, drop out. And then we had, Richard Alpert, who later became Ram Dass.
Yeah.
And
Tim O'Leary wanted to off all the people over 30.
Yeah. Well,
which sounded fine until we hit 30.
So we, long story short. So I was taking LSD and I became possessed by an astral entity. I became possessed. It was a horrible, terrifying experience. I had a mental illness as a result of it. I did get out of it through meditation, but later I learned how to, in fact, help these earthbound spirits, these trapped souls, to move them into the light. Much later in my life, I learned about that.
So
I had had the personal experience of it at that time.
When you call yourself a ghost whisperer now are we, you know, for instance, when somebody calls themselves a horse whisperer, they have a special way of communicating with horses like other people can't. Is this what you're saying about ghosts?
I'm not saying that I'm special or anything, but what I do is I help these earthbound spirits and trapped souls to move on into the light. It's one of the things I do. It's not the only thing I do.
You know, I had a ghost. Well, I never really believed so much as you could be encountered. But a woman wrote a book about me. It's called what is the name of my book?
The Ghosted Bridge.
The Ghosted Bridge.
You need, okay.
See, she's got me all messed up.
About me?
You know what?
Yeah,
we need,
but this ghost.
What we need right now is a Madison whisperer.
Yeah, really?
But this ghost followed me around all of Sedona. So I believe in this.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. And what I wanted to know, because there's so many things here, I mean, like, it didn't bother me, like some of these questions, what should you do if you see, hear, or sense a ghostly presence? To me, it just seemed normal. I mean, it was weird how she would show up. You know what I'm saying? Like, she would show up, and it was a little, you know, but I just got used to it.
Right.
It didn't make me scared or anything. And she was a really live person who died, and I don't know, it was really different. Let's put it that way.
It wasn't a relative then?
No, I didn't know her at all.
Okay. She just latched on to you.
Yeah, but she wanted to give me a message.
Okay. Did she give you a message?
Yeah, she did. And actually, it's based on a true story where, you know, there was a bridge that collapsed August 1st, 2007 in Minnesota, and it 13 people died and it just collapsed.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, well, I happened to save this woman and her two children. Because the ghost got in touch with me through a series of events and I called her in the nick of time, like, don't go on the bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and the bridge collapsed at 6:01.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a dynamite story, but I really believed in this. Like, she would come around all the time, and, like, let's say I lost my keys or something. I'd go, Helen, where are my keys? You know, like she was really like, you know, following me around.
Right.
But it, you know, I had to do a lot of research and find out she was a real person and her birthday and all kinds of stuff. It was cool.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, why do some of them, I mean, do they stay earthbound and then mm-hmm. go, or do they come and try to help people?
Okay. So I'm absolutely certain that you're very familiar with the near-death experience, in which we find out that what happens after death is that there's like a tunnel and then a light, and then the soul moves into that light, often that there are deceased relatives ushering them into the light. Often they'll meet a divine being. Often they'll have a life review. And certain things will happen with the near-death experience. Well, I do believe the near-death experience is real. I do believe that that is exactly what happens to souls after death, is that they do go into this divine light. People might call it heaven. People might call it the spiritual world or the spiritual plane. And that is where they go. And most souls go immediately there. I mean, when I say immediately, within the first 3 days, let's say, after death, they move on into the light. Well, there are some souls who do not go into that light, and I've counted 15 different reasons why those souls do not go into the light after death. They get confused, they get stranded, they get stuck in a place that we call the astral world or the astral plane. Some people call that purgatory, some might call it limbo. It is a place where souls are earthbound. Earthbound means that they're not moving on. They're not going into the light. So some of them, they don't go into the light. Now, you also asked about people who are deceased souls who are helping you. All right, so those who are helping you, most likely they are already in the light. Then they might become like a guardian angel or someone. They might be a spiritual guide for you. They might be someone who is there to help you, to guide you, to give you wisdom and inspiration. And in fact, in the spiritual world, there are many divine beings that can help you. For example, ascended masters, deities, angels, archangels. There are all kinds of wonderful spiritual beings in the spiritual plane that can help you, and including these souls, perhaps, maybe a deceased relative or someone that is there to help you. The ones who are earthbound, the ones who are trapped, yes, they might also latch themselves onto a living human, but that is called astral possession or oppression or astral influence, and that is not a good thing.
And you talk about, see, I know about the astral plane. Did you ever hear of Delphi University?
I'm sorry?
Did you ever hear of Delphi University? Arthur Ford
Delphi
Academy?
Delphi University, no.
You ever hear of Arthur Ford?
No.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But what about this thing I read here where it's organ donations? And how does that affect the soul?
Okay, well, there are 15 possible reasons why a person becomes earthbound after death. One of those reasons might be that the soul does not move on because they signed an organ donor card without really considering the consequences. There are some people who believe that life begins at birth and ends at death, and there's nothing else. In other words, they're very materialistic, and they believe that this physical body is all that there is. So they figure, okay, after death, I'll be gone. There'll be nothing there. So, all right, I'll donate my organs. And then when they die, guess what? Nothing happens. They're still awake. They're still experiencing things through the senses. They're still alert. You know, nothing really happens at death except for the body drops off. So then their body starts to be carved up, and their organs are being removed from their body, and they're like, what's going on here? And because of their materialistic attitude, that prevents them from moving on into the light after death. Now, if you understand and realize that this spiritual being, which is temporarily inhabiting this body, is who you really are, then donating your organs is just fine. No problem with donating your organs. But you have to understand that you are a spiritual being, and this body is just being discarded, and therefore the organs can be used by someone else.
Hmm. Because I thought that was pretty interesting, because, you know, a lot of people do donate their organs, you know, like maybe a kidney or something like that, and they're both alive. You know what I mean? Like a brother or something like that. And then the other brother gives, donates.
Oh,
you know,
no, I'm talking about after death.
Yeah.
I'm referring to after you died.
Right. I get that part now. Mm-hmm. And then you, what I thought was funny, like, you say, that there could be a, like forces in the studio.
It's possible. Yes. The reality is that, okay, if a soul is particularly attached to the material world or to places in the material world, like a house, a theater, a place of work, wherever they inhabited, or perhaps even a battlefield if they are a soldier, then they may continue to haunt that place. That's how these hauntings take place. And they may continue there for even hundreds of years. So a ghost can inhabit a building, in other words.
So there could be something in this radio station or home or office, and it could be haunted too, right?
Not me.
Huh?
That's not me.
Well, we don't know that for sure. We have an expert on you.
I do the haunting.
Because there's a lot of things that really go on, Susan. You know what I'm saying?
Are you having some activity over there at your station?
Well,
some poltergeist activity?
Sometimes I feel like it, you know, but I don't say anything because, you know, they think I'm kind of kooky anyway.
Well, tell me what's been happening over there.
Well, sometimes I'll be here and we're doing the show and all of a sudden I'm gone into another dimension and I don't know where I'm at, and then somehow I come back, but I know someone's here and takes me away. Or it's like the show has a life of its own, and whatever I think of having as the show turns out totally different. So someone's taking over.
That's your own spiritual guidance. That's your own, either your higher self or divine beings that are around you that are guiding you and leading you. And you definitely have that around you, and you are in touch with that, even maybe not necessarily consciously. But those divine beings are leading you, guiding you, showing you the way, taking you to different dimensions, helping guide your show, helping guide your life, in fact.
Hmm. I would really love to. Where do you live?
Well, I live in a motorhome, and I have no home base. I travel all around the country. At the moment, I'm in Snowflake, Arizona, believe it or not.
Snowflake? where is that?
It's not too far from you. It's actually a couple hours from Flagstaff.
Wow, we should really get together. We would have a lot to talk about.
I'm sure.
Well, I have a couple other questions here. Now, so you kind of talked about what really happens after death. I mean, I think some people don't know that they're dead. Like if it's a violent accident or let's say they're murdered, they don't really know right away. It's like, you know, and it takes a few days because they just don't have the, they can't comprehend that they're really gone.
It could take more than a few days. It can take a few centuries. It can take any length of time, but that would be in the case, like you said, of an unexpected, accidental, or violent death. And that's the reason why so many ghosts are inhabiting battlefields, for example. This was portrayed in a movie called The Sixth Sense,
and it was also portrayed
in another movie called The Others. In both of those movies, there were characters who didn't know they were dead. They had a sudden, in the case of The Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis played a character who was murdered with a gun, and he didn't know he was dead. And
I know, that was so cool.
He was wandering around trying to communicate with living humans and so on. And you know, not getting a whole heck of a response from his wife and so on because
I know,
was
but
dead.
it was so interesting because they couldn't, you know, you didn't really know they did it so well, like you really thought he was still alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people did, yeah.
Oh, well, see, that wasn't very nice.
I think most people thought he was still alive, yeah.
And the
it
others,
was a very
that was
well
with,
done movie, yes.
The others was with Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman, in fact, they were inhabiting that house for a long time, thinking that they were alive.
I know.
And that's a really fascinating. Those are very, actually, true-to-life kinds of films.
Wow. So, a violent death and everything, they could be misplaced for centuries, millenniums.
Yeah, it's possible.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I mean,
unless somebody helps them move on, and that's why it's important for us to learn about how to help these souls move on and help them to go into the light. Anyone could do this. You don't have to be a, quote, ghost whisperer in order to do this. Anyone can help the souls to move on into the light.
How many ghosts would you say that you've helped?
I've helped hundreds of ghosts, probably thousands of ghosts, move on into the light. Because I do astral healing on a regular basis.
Wow. You don't take LSD or anything now, do you?
No, I took LSD three times in 1966.
Oh.
And took marijuana a few times. And then I learned meditation. Mm. As soon as I learned meditation, I never took any drugs like that again. Mm. And I don't recommend that people do.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I'll tell you. So tell me a little bit about some of your other books, because you've written 10 books.
Exactly. My first book's called Divine Revelation. That's published by Simon & Schuster. That one is about learning how to listen to the still small voice within you, your divine intuitive voice, the voice of God within, the voice of your higher self, your inner guidance, divine beings, ascended masters, and so on. Learning how to communicate with these divine beings, and also how to distinguish and discern between that true divine voice and other voices in your mind, how to test whether the message that you're getting is the real thing. Is it a divine voice speaking to me? Is it my wishful thinking? Is it an astral entity who is faking me out? You know, who or what is giving me this message? So it's about receiving and testing your inner divine guidance, your inner guidance. And the same theme for my other book, How to Hear the Voice of God. And that book also has a CD attached to it to help you to have that experience of listening to the inner voice. And then I have many other books, like Miracle Prayer, which teaches what's known as scientific prayer, which is taught in the churches like Unity and Religious Science, Science of Mind, Centers for Spiritual Living, and so on. And it's a very powerful method of prayer. The subtitle for that book is 9 Steps to Creating Prayers That Get Results, because it is a method of prayer that gets results. And then I wrote another book called Instant Healing, which is all it is these types of prayers to help with all kinds of situations. The whole book is a book of prayers and affirmations, and it has 243 affirmative prayers in that book. And, of course, The Power of Auras, which is the latest book that's just coming out right now. The Power of Chakras, that'll be coming out next month. And, I don't know, I have 10 books total. Ascension, that's another book I wrote, which is stories of immortal beings and ascended masters. And
yeah, I studied all of this stuff. It's really funny. What's your birthday, just the month and day?
February 9th.
No! She's right with us, Tommy.
I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah, because he's a February
4th.
4th. I am the 7th, and you're the 9th. And I am your Venus card for life.
Well, what do you know? That sounds pretty good.
That's right. If you were a guy, we would be perfect for each other.
Okay.
We are all spades. We all get each other. This is fantastic.
Who's the ace?
Absolutely.
Who's the ace? The ace of spades.
Diana, Princess Diana.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And Sarah Palin.
Oh, very interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm. Powerful, powerful women.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, we don't, we're not going
I'm just, well, I'm just in wondering because I need to know what to avoid.
I can't believe it. We know just about the same things, but we took different routes and got to the same place.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, you, this is why you're doing so much. You can, when you really, really end up getting tired, you're tired. Like you, you could probably write four books at the same time, all different books at the same time.
I do a lot of things. I'm a very busy person.
What was your incentive to write these books? Are you trying to relate to people that, that already have an awareness about this subject matter, or are you trying to bring people into the light in terms of learning about the subject matter?
Well, the thing is, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. All I'm trying to do is help people to realize God if they're willing. To help people to have the divine experience if they're willing. And that's my main motive for beginning to write my books, because I had already been teaching divine revelation, which is that the method for people listening to the divine voice. And because I'd already been teaching the method, I felt like I needed to write books so that people can learn about it. You know, a lot more people can learn about it if you have books sitting in bookstores and people are reading them, than if you just teach a handful of people here and there. So I just wanted to disseminate this wisdom to as many people as possible. And then some of my books were actually books that my publisher asked me to write. Once they saw that I was a good writer, they said, oh, well, why don't you write about this, you know? So,
hey, let me ask you.
So I did.
What is your doctorate in?
Divinity.
See, because... I was thinking, at one point, did you want to go into medical?
No, but my father was a surgeon.
See? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I do have that healing profession in my family, but I had no interest in being in that profession. I used to faint when I was given a shot. Well, like, I still feel pretty queasy when somebody gives me a shot.
Well, we know how not to. We could kill you really easy. Just show you a bunch of syringes.
That's a lot better than being the doctor that passes out giving the shot.
Oh.
Exactly. I'd say so. So it's best that I did not go into that profession.
Oh, I guess not. Boy, I'll tell you something. This is so. I love every single thing about this. I'm not kidding.
Cool.
I just do. And I hope sometime I get to meet you. I really do.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You should have came here to the studio.
Uh-huh. It's a little far away, but that's okay.
Oh, well, next time. Because you have, you know, so many things to talk about and everything. I mean, do you really believe in poltergeist?
Absolutely. I've had clients who've had horrendous poltergeist activity in their houses. I mean, things like, for example, their clothing being torn. I mean, just insane stuff going on in their houses. And then all they did was I taught them how to do the astral healing. I taught them how to close off their auras to the lower energies and how to open their auras to the spiritual plane, how to use specific affirmations and prayers. And that... they were able to heal themselves and to heal their homes and really get on a very powerful healing path. So it doesn't really matter how horrible the activity is in your home. You can transform any space into a sacred space. Even the most dense, horrible spaces can be transformed and healed.
You know, like some people say that to me, you know, in my practice that, oh, they have these dark entities around them and stuff. I don't know if I really believe that. I don't have that. I have goodness around me. And
well, of course you do. That's exactly what I saw when you told me about these, that you were having those experiences at work and so on. That's exactly what I saw, is the light beings that are around you.
Yeah, I know I have them. But I don't understand it. I don't know if the people are really making it up to make themselves seem important. You know what I'm saying?
You mean people who don't really have divine beings around them and yet they pretend to have them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that they have these dark forces that make them special. They think that there's...
Okay, so there's something that... One of the reasons why spirits do not go into the light is what we call... I call it a faker spirit. And that would be a soul during their lifetime. They've been very frustrated by their attempts to achieve, like, earthly fame or recognition or power or something like that. And then in the afterlife, that soul might attach itself to a channeler, a medium, or a psychic, and the spirit might be giving that medium a fake name, often an impressive-sounding name, such as a biblical name, and then they will try to flatter that medium or psychic or channeler. In fact, they're very manipulative. They're very clever. So they will use human beings have one major failing, and that is we are susceptible to flattery. And that's a pretty universal failing, unfortunately. So these faker spirits are very clever. They will try to fake this person out. They will flatter them. They'll tell them you're special. You're higher than other people. Oh, you're much more highly evolved than others, and oh, you're so great, and blah, blah, blah. And then they attach themselves to this living human. And then they will achieve some kind of satisfaction from that the medium or channeler is using their words, and that they become famous, they're writing books, and the faker spirit gets satisfaction out of that. And that is one way that a living human can get possessed by an entity.
I'm not like that at all. I've never been like that, never.
Well, of course not.
No.
I'm just saying
but
that this,
I,
that this
I know
can
what
happen.
You're talking about. Listen, people in Sedona especially, you know, I shouldn't say anything. Well, this is my humble opinion. Everybody here is somebody, right? And I would talk to some of my teachers here and I'd say, how come I don't hear anybody except my own voice? and they all telling me that it comes from inside, deep in my well.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I get this information. And I'm thinking, well, how come everybody's hearing all these voices and spirits? And my one teacher said, because they really don't give a shit. The spirits. And that's what they say, you know? So I just don't believe that everybody's hearing all these things, because I don't.
Okay. Do you want to? I mean...
Well, it's been, I've been doing this a long time, and I guess I'm doing okay.
Do you want to be in touch with divine beings? I mean, you're already in touch with divine beings, but do you want to actually have conversations with them?
No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you're fine.
Yeah. I'm fine.
Maybe that's why you don't, though. Maybe that's why you can't, because you really don't want it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
He hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, because I have too many other things.
One of my greatest disappointments in life was, in this spiritual community, you run into people who a lot of people will claim they can tell you that, you know, what you were in a previous life.
Oh,
and of
well,
course,
that's an easy one to
and you can't prove it.
So
you can't prove it, right? But everybody was special. Everybody was famous.
Everyone's famous. Okay. Everybody is
Cleopatra,
Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
No ordinary people anywhere.
Well, but what I was told...
Okay, almost all the past lives, and I remember a lot of my past lives, I was always an ordinary person in almost every one of them. There were a couple of them where I was in the royalty, but, you know, very rare. Most of my past lives were just ordinary people.
How can you be both? And weren't you disappointed when they told you were ordinary?
No, not at all.
See, I was,
and
I was,
no one ever told me anything. These are ones that I remember myself.
I was,
you know,
I was
remember my own past lives. I don't have to go to somebody else to tell me.
I was disappointed because I was told that I was a gatherer of bat guana.
Oh, you know, he's too funny.
I'm serious.
You were a blacksmith.
Okay.
You know, that's why I stopped doing, past life regression. Everybody was Cleopatra. Nobody was a gatherer of straw or, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, well, how many Cleopatras could there have been?
Exactly.
And I said, that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. Because you figure it out. You know what? I did my work. You do your own work.
Exactly.
I can't be bothered with all that. I think you are so fascinating. I love you.
Now, as you help people pass through the darkness or find the light, you know, what is it? Have you come up with any kind of a determination about what keeps people stuck like that? They're in limbo, so to speak.
Right. Well, like I said, there's 15 possible reasons why a soul does not move into the light. But what keeps them stuck there, though, after they are already in the astral plane, is that they are ignorant. They don't know that all they have to do is just have one thought of God or one thought of a light, and that a light will appear and they'll go into the light. So it's only due to ignorance that they're not moving on into the light. That's why they need people like us, living humans, to help them to move on.
Now, there are
and
some,
to pray for them,
there are
and
some,
speak to them.
There are some religions that, it's kind of interesting because there are religions that don't want to admit to this, or they want to defy that it's even a possibility or that it exists. But for instance, the Catholic religion, Catholicism, they call it purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, their take on this is that you're not stuck there because of ignorance. You're stuck there because you're doing penance.
Yeah, well, you know, they have certain ideas. My idea, and this is what I believe, and this is from my own experience, is that anybody can move on into the light. There is no, you know, condemned soul or anything like that. A person who's committed suicide, they can go into the light. Person who has committed murder, they can go into the light. Everyone can go into the light. It's a choice, in a sense. It's a choice, we could say. In other words, everyone can do it. But some people, they just don't do it for one reason or another. They feel guilty. They feel like that they are a condemned soul. They feel like they have perhaps made a pact with the devil, or, you know, there's a lot of reasons. Like I said, there's 15 different reasons why they don't go into the light. And some of it might be shame, it might be guilt, it might be feeling unworthy, and might be unfinished business. I mean, there's just a whole passel of reasons. But the reality is, in my opinion and from my experience, anyone can go into the light. They just have to have a thought.
Dr. Shumsky, we're running out of time, and we need to know where we can find your book.
Okay, best place is Amazon.com. The Power of Auras and the Power of Chakras coming up.
Okay.
Amazon.com is the best place, and my website, drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org.
All right, great. That's Dr. Susan Shumsky. Thanks for joining us.
I really enjoyed it, and thank you so much, and we have to run.
Well, you got about a minute here to talk about the rest of the stuff you wanted to talk about.
Oh, guess what's coming back?
What's coming back?
You're going to love it. Bigfoot.
Oh no.
Yes,
no.
He starts Sunday on Animal Planet.
I wonder if Bigfoot was stuck.
I'm going to try to get a hold of these people.
Yeah.
I want to go with them. So, what do you have planned?
Oh, we got the show tomorrow night.
Really?
Yeah, going to be out at the Soundbites Show Lounge doing the Graffiti Gold Show.
What time is dinner?
7:30 is when the show starts, so you can get dinner anytime before that if you want. You can even get served during the show.
You can. Yeah. Is there dancing?
No.
Oh.
On the stage only.
With you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to dance, you take your life into your hands, because I'll make a spectacle of it.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Anyway, it was great. I was really excited. Could you tell I was excited about this one?
Absolutely.
I got a good one for you next week, too.
Okay.
I love you and, well, not you, but, you know, the audience, okay?
listening to Life in the Fast Lane with Madison Morgan. If you would like your topic discussed, email madisonkmorgan@msn.com. That's madisonkmorgan@msn.com. Tune in every Friday morning after the 11 o'clock news for Life in the Fast Lane with Madison Morgan, right here on AM 780 KAZM.